Hello and welcome to a podcast extra from the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose. This is an extra because it is focusing not on CME for the benefit of our patients' health, but instead this is a podcast looking at ways to improve our own well-being. Following on from our talk with Dr. Zeeshan Qureshi on the topic of burnout, I thought it might be helpful to look at how we might be able to help ourselves deal with the everyday stresses and strains of practicing urgent care medicine. Like much of medicine, there are often several approaches to solving a particular problem or conundrum, and this is true also with respect to how we each address the business of self-care. For example, some of us re-energize by socializing with friends, while some might find a period of solitude recharges batteries. Some will seek music, others sports, some might play video games, some might do a bit of everything. But we are all different, and in achieving that work-life balance, we should make sure we all dedicate enough of our week to the things that make us happy, the things that give us energy, and help us leave our work where it belongs, at work. Dr. Zoe Cruz is an urgent care registrar in Tauranga, New Zealand, and she's also a qualified yoga teacher and a keen multi-sport athlete. From talking to her, I found out that she uses mindfulness in her daily routine, and in particular uses mindfulness breathing techniques to help unwind and refocus her thoughts at the end of a hectic day at work. Now, not being familiar with mindfulness, I was interested to find out, what is it?
So, mindfulness is essentially the practice of being able to focus your awareness on the current moment, the present moment. It acknowledges that obviously you still have specific thoughts and specific feelings, and your physical body is going to feel a particular way, but it's that practice of being able to sit with that, but just be focusing on the present moment. So that's what mindfulness is.
Now, I have certainly noticed mindfulness becoming more of a thing in the last couple of years, with apps and YouTube videos on the topic becoming more and more prevalent. But how long has Zoe been practicing these techniques?
I have been practicing mindfulness through yoga for close to a decade now. By yoga, I mean I practice physical yoga, which is called asana yoga, and also pranayama, which are breathing exercises, which are also part of mindfulness. I got into yoga and mindfulness when I was training for a marathon about 10 years ago, and I ended up with a leg injury. Ended up in a yoga class, which I was incredibly skeptical and cynical about, thought it was complete woo-woo, and, you know, thought it didn't really have a place in any kind of clinical medical model. And ultimately that first class opened my eyes to what has now become a daily mindfulness practice. And I've also been lucky enough that having found yoga and mindfulness, I teach yoga alongside working clinically, and on the odd occasion we'll have a clinical work break, a career break in that respect, and just focus on teaching yoga.
I was interested to hear how Zoe uses mindfulness with respect to her role as an urgent care registrar. Working full-time in a busy regional urgent care clinic, whilst also undertaking fellowship training with the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care, how does mindfulness help her?
So I think that mindfulness is beneficial for everybody, but for the intents and purposes of this podcast, I think that mindfulness is incredibly important to doctors, especially doctors that work on the front line, by which I mean like urgent care physicians, emergency medicine physicians, GPs, any doctor that sees a patient at that initial presentation. So you're dealing with members of the public every single day. The nature of those types of medical jobs are you don't know what's going to happen, high stress, high levels of emotion, busy days, very demanding, often on your feet for the entire shift. So I think that mindfulness is very important for anybody in that medical role, mostly because I think it helps a lot with a word that we're all still too scared to say, burnout. Despite increasing levels of suicide in our profession, we're still far too scared to admit that we're burning out or that we feel burnt out. And certainly in my experience, mindfulness has helped when I've been very close to kind of compassion fatigue, burnout. An example of that is last week I had a shift where I was working from 1 p.m. until close. And obviously amongst all the normal kind of coughs and colds and winter bugs that I saw, I had an acutely suicidal lady who I was very worried about, which was emotionally and an emotionally difficult consultation and very time consuming. I also had an initial presentation of sexual abuse in a minor and an 18-month-old baby with bronchiolitis who was very sick in recess with a very combative mum who didn't want me to arrange for the baby to be transferred to hospital. So by the time I left work at about 10:30 at night and got home, I was ruminating about the entire shift. I was worried about the suicidal patient. I was thinking a lot about the young girl that I'd seen who had been sexually abused. Was worried about this 18-month-old baby. Also very aware of the fact that I had to start work again the next morning at 8. And there's obviously so much potential to have a bad night's sleep, to be worrying, to wake up in a bad frame of mind because you've not slept well. So I did a mindfulness practice for about 10 minutes before I went to bed, which was a breathing exercise that we'll look at later. And had a really good sleep, woke up feeling quite positive, did another mindfulness exercise in the morning, which was a 10-minute physical yoga practice. And yeah, went to work and had a good shift, spoke to my colleagues about the patients that I'd seen, and it became more of a positive shift than a negative one. So I do think that mindfulness has got a massive role in busy, stressful jobs.
So it seems that at the end of a busy day featuring a few complex and emotionally challenging patients, Zoe spent 10 minutes practicing mindfulness to achieve the benefits. Is 10 minutes all that is needed, or is that because she has spent 10 years honing her skills?
So I do think it only needs to be about 5 to 10 minutes. So when I spent 6 months in Rishikesh doing my yoga teacher training and studying yoga exclusively. And I remember having to sit on a concrete floor in -2 degrees, freezing to death, being told to meditate for an hour. And all I could think about was how cold I was, and it was useless. I didn't gain anything from it. So I think it's about finding something that works for you. And for me, a 5 to 10 minute breathing exercise or a 5 to 10 minute physical yoga stretch it works perfectly for me. For some people, mindfulness could be going for a jog, going running, taking the dog for a walk. But it certainly doesn't need to take up heaps and heaps of time. I mean, the mindfulness app what's it called? Headspace. The Headspace app, which is free, and I recommend to a lot of patients that I see if they're having difficulties with sleeping or any anxiety type symptoms. They're 5 minutes long, and they're really effective.
So it seems that people benefit from a brief period of mindfulness, which is great, as fitting in a time-consuming activity in an already busy schedule would likely defeat the object of the exercise. But is mindfulness something that you practice in reaction to a stressful event, or is it something you do regularly as a kind of prophylaxis?
So I do have a daily yoga practice, so a daily mindfulness practice. It didn't start like that. I think I mostly was practicing yoga maybe 2-3 times a week in a class setting for an hour. But now practicing physical yoga first thing in the morning is as integral to me as brushing my teeth, getting dressed and having breakfast. It's so ingrained into my day that it just goes without saying that I'll spend 10-15 minutes doing physical yoga in the morning. The breathing exercises, the pranayama, that does tend to follow something particularly stressful. So if I've had quite a stressful shift, or in any aspect of life, if I'm feeling a bit wound up, or even if I'm having difficulty falling asleep, I will do the breathing exercises. So the breathing exercises aren't so much daily, but definitely in reaction to something, you know, some acute event.
Starting and learning something new can be time-consuming and have a price tag attached, which might produce a barrier to people engaging with an activity. So is it possible to learn mindfulness techniques from books, online videos, or apps?
You can definitely self-teach from apps. I mean, you just have to put into YouTube, you know, yoga for beginners, and it'll spurt out millions of YouTube videos, some of which are, you know, just skinny minis in Lululemon clothes doing fancy gymnastics, which kind of is besides the point. But you can if you do a decent search in YouTube, you can find, you know, a 10-15 minute gentle stretch to do in the morning and a 10-15 minute meditation to do in the evening. It's very accessible.
So mindfulness helps Zoe deal with the pressures of work, but is it something that she would do at work, in a lunch break, for example?
I haven't ever done it in a lunch break. I've done it in the car before I've driven home, on the odd occasion when I'm really wound up about something. Then I'll do a breathing exercise in the car before I start driving. And I know this is currently, it's focused about us as doctors, but for patients that I've had in the past that have anxiety or issues with sleeping, I have gone through a breathing exercise with them during a consultation, just as an added aid to help with what they're experiencing, which goes down well. I haven't had a patient who, you know, rolls their eyes and thinks that I'm some hippie doctor for telling them a breathing exercise, because thankfully I think people are a lot more open now to the concept of mindfulness and don't necessarily just want a tablet for something. But there's still a lot of work to do.
Now, having heard the benefits that mindfulness exercises have brought to Zoe as she balances her work and her life and her urgent care training, you might be interested in trying a mindfulness breathing exercise for yourself. Well, we came up with an idea of how you can give mindfulness a go from the comfort of your favourite podcast listening armchair. Just not whilst you're driving, please. Definitely not whilst driving.
In a separate podcast or in a separate piece, there will be a guided pranayama exercise, so a guided breathing mindfulness exercise, just for you to listen to. It only will last about 6 or 7 minutes, and it will be something that would be good to do if you've had a particularly stressful day, Or if you just want to try a mindfulness exercise to see whether it's something that works for you. So the mindfulness exercise that I've recorded is best done in a quiet environment. So when you've got home from work or before you go to work, somewhere quite quiet, somewhere where the lights are ambient, not too bright, not too dark, so that you don't end up just falling asleep inadvertently. And it's essentially a guide that you can repeat, you can go back and listen to, and also just a way of showing that you don't have to spend heaps of money going to some fancy class to learn how to do a breathing technique. So hopefully you will enjoy that.
So many thanks to Zoe for giving us this little introduction into mindfulness and explaining how she uses it to self-care, to clear her mind at the end of a busy day, and ultimately aid in preventing burnout. If you found yourself drawn to giving mindfulness a go, as Zoe explained, there will be a short podcast in which she guides you through a basic breathing exercise. If you find that helpful, it'll be there for you as a guide to use again and again in the future. And of course, you can then scour the internet for any manner of instructional material or seek out a local course. If you've listened to this and feel that it is not for you, then all good. Like I said at the start, we're all different, and what is good for one person is another person's kryptonite. But this talk was meant to explore a way in which at least one of our urgent care community balances work-life stresses, and if some of you are able to benefit from this, then that is great. For those of you that do not find this sort of thing to your taste, it is important to think about how we can safely and healthily cleanse ourselves at the end of a busy work week. And at the very least, you will undoubtedly encounter patients who use these techniques, so you will now know a little more about them, in case you were asked, or in case you find yourself advising your patients to use mindfulness in their own lives. As mentioned in our previous talk on burnout, recognising symptoms of burnout in yourself and seeking medical attention from your registered GP is an important part of self-care. So we encourage you all to get professional help if you are struggling with maintaining a healthy work-life balance. To do our best for our patients, we must first look after ourselves. Thanks for listening.